How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every weekend, Wrestling Observer Weekends, here on Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, as well as the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio. So many different ways to listen to this program. We are here Sundays, of course, at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Saturday mornings as well. Brand new show, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. And we're here to talk all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as well as take your phone calls if you've got things you want to talk about today regarding pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. This is the place to be. After the first commercial break, we will be taking your phone calls, as promised, 2 hours of open lines at 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478 is the phone number. Anything you want to talk about in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, and obviously there is a lot of it to talk about. Tomorrow is Raw. We're going to be talking about that program. It is the final Raw of 2014. The return of Brock Lesnar on the show, setting up the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania and whatever else Brock Lesnar is going to do. He has not even been advertised for the show. Why? I have absolutely no idea. We'll talk about that on the program today. And of course, it is going to be a big weekend this coming Saturday and Sunday. Saturday night is the UFC event, and Saturday night, Sunday morning, it will be the Tokyo Dome, both of them on pay-per-view. I will be watching both shows, as will, I'm sure, Mike and Dave. And then on Saturday night, Sunday morning, I got to get these times right, at about 3 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, this coming Saturday night, Dave and I will be doing a brand new radio show talking about both of those events. Yes, starting at 3 a.m. only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to preview both of those shows today and talk so much news, as well as take your phone calls starting after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday and here for the next 2 hours, taking your phone calls, talking all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts here on a slow weekend, the Christmas weekend edition of the show here. Mike, how was your holiday? I should have asked you yesterday, but I forgot.
It was fantastic, and it's not ending very nicely here. The Atlanta Falcons need to score some points here rather quickly against the Carolina Panthers. Then I'll be in a much happier mood, but the actual holiday time I spent with family was quite good.
Well, here we are on Sunday. Everybody is already calling the show, so let's get right into it. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Michael from New Jersey.
What's up, Michael?
Hey, so I just saw something on MMAfighting.com about a new pay-per-view company trying to get into U.S. They tape in Latvia, apparently, and it's called Team Fighting Championships. Have you heard about this?
Team Fighting Championships.
Yeah.
I have not seen that article yet.
It's five-on-five matches with a combined weight limit of, what was it, like, I think 500 kilograms per team, which is just about 1,100 pounds. And apparently it's a round-robin tournament where you got five-on-five matches. And it's not legal in the U.S., but they're going to try to get on pay-per-view. And I was wondering what you thought the prospects for something wacky like this would be.
And this is up on MMAfighting.com?
I think I've seen something like this. I know I've seen YouTube clips that people have put up over, it's a group that, you know, it starts five-on-five, and once a guy is tapped out or a referee stops it, is this the one where the... it can turn into 5-on-4 and 5-on-3 until, you know, everybody's eliminated.
So basically, this is a mixed martial arts version of the Survivor Series.
Kind of like Texas Tornado rules, and there were foot stomps and things like that that would also have to be cleaned up before anything like this could possibly come into America. But this is like Jeff Osborne's old hook-and-shoot thing kind of taken to a different level.
Well, I got to say this. I have always been a big proponent of the tag team matches in mixed martial arts. I've seen tag team matches. They were so exciting. And as long as you've got somebody there who's going to enforce the rules to a decent degree, I think that they're largely safe. The problem is there's so many fight fans that just do not like anything that has anything to do with pro wrestling. And obviously, if you start talking about tag team matches or Survivor Series matches, there's going to be a big-time backlash, but I'm up for anything interesting that's largely safe. And if you the one thing when I did see the tag team matches was it was legit pro wrestling rules in the sense that the referee, once you made a tag, you had 5 seconds to double team your opponent. And I don't think you're going to get away with that in 2015. But I do think that the general idea of a tag team match, there's nothing wrong with that in MMA.
No, I think under these rules, though, with this, if this is, again, the one that I have seen with the Texas Tornado style rules, the visual is it comes across very bad. And I don't know if this would be something if I'm the UFC or I'm Bellator that I necessarily would want to have around, because, again, the way, if this is what I'm thinking of, the way it's structured, it does, the aesthetics are quite bad, especially with things like foot stomps and things like that when you have three guys on one or two guys on one.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. Let's head to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello there. Going once. Going twice. And you are gone. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland.
Ryan, my favorite Cumberland caller.
Yeah, I got a scoop on you what the last caller called about.
Oh, really? This is exciting. Go for it.
Yeah, I recently talked to the boss, Rutan, a couple months ago, and he says this Survivor Series MMA fighting already exists in the country of Russia.
I believe he said Latvia. Is that correct, Mike?
Yes, that's what the caller said, yes.
Oh, yes, Latvia.
Okay.
A former part of the Soviet Union?
Maybe Rusev could be involved.
It's Bulgaria.
No, I'm just saying, he could still be involved. You don't have to be from Latvia, I don't think.
Just
do
from
you?
The Eastern Bloc.
Ryan, what more do you know about this?
I know very little, but Boss basically said this would never happen in the United States because there are just too many laws and regulations in the U.S. for something like this to happen.
Was he mostly talking about the rules and the ability, for example, to stomp on somebody, or was he talking about, I don't know, just the idea that you'd have multi-person MMA matches?
I think he was more concerned that it would end up being like 5-on-1, you know.
Yeah, you really can't do that.
Yeah, in fact, I found the link, and the Team Fighting Championships is the clips that I have seen, and it's the one I'm going to tweet out there is it's a Polish team against a Swedish team, and it's exactly what it is. Once a guy gets tapped out, then the winner of that bout can move on to help one of his partners out. And again, the aesthetics of this thing, even if you took out, you know, some of the punching and elbows and things that you could do double teaming wise, still aesthetically probably is just not going to fly in the United States, especially because it's still not legal in New York State and things like that just aren't it, you know, for no matter how safe it may actually truly be. Again, how it looks is what's going to be the biggest problem with it.
Anything else, Ryan?
I'd like to make one more prediction for 2015.
All righty.
Okay, my prediction is David Benoit will be announced that he'll get his own reality TV show because of the Chris Benoit movie that is coming out this year. Because I think there's going to be too many dollars.
Hold on a second. There's a Chris Benoit movie that is coming out this year?
Either this year or in 2016, I believe.
Mike, investigate this while we take this next call. Ryan, I want to thank you very much for the call and the updates. I had not heard of a Chris Benoit movie coming out in 2015, but I'll get Mike on that. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Richard from Montreal.
What's up, Richard?
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, of course.
What did you guys think was the WWE match of the year? Mine, I think, would be The Shield versus Evolution at Extreme Rules.
That was a very, very good match. Shield versus... I'd have to go back and look at all of the matches. The only ones I really know that I remember off the top of my head are the ones that they announced for the Slammy Awards. But there were a lot of good matches in 2014. There was one that I just saw recently. Oh, you actually, you know what? A lot of my favorite matches were actually NXT matches The Sami Zayn match was awesome on the last NXT show. Been a lot of very good matches. Mike, what do you think?
Sorry, I was too busy here looking at this Chris Benoit thing. The what was it? The matches of the year?
Your favorite WWE match of the year.
Oh, man. Oh, God. I don't know. There were a couple from NXT that were really good. I don't know. Let me think about this a little bit here because, the beginning of the year, we had a couple of really good ones. This doesn't count, but I loved Evolution against the Shield for what it was with those guys putting the Shield over. And I can't remember what pay-per-view that was at. I think it was the first special event after WrestleMania, but I thought that was really good. There's been a handful of really good ones this year, but let me poke around a little bit because the six-man comes to mind between the Wyatts and the Shield from earlier on this year.
Also
obviously,
very
Daniel,
good.
Daniel Bryan's the whole his two matches that he had as far as the story and everything that kind of goes around it. I know two matches is kind of cheating a little bit, but I thought those two matches at WrestleMania were excellent and how that whole thing went down. So I guess let me think about it a little bit more here at the break.
All right. Anything else?
That would be it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for the call to the phone.
Chris Benoit biopic, before you take the call, Brian, Crossface is the name of it. And I guess this past summer, there was a Brazilian filmmaker known as Vicente Amorim. This is according to Bleacher Report in July that has decided to take the reins of this thing. And apparently it's in production.
All I know is from having done many independent films myself, I don't believe any of this stuff until it's like in post-production and ready to be announced. I mean, there have been all sorts of supposed biopics that I've heard about that never actually come to fruition. So if it's been picked up, I guess we'll see, but we'll see. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian and Mike. It's Danny Hernandez from Dallas, Texas.
Hey, Danny, I want you to stand by. We're going to go to the break, and we'll pick you up when we come back. Stand by, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, and we are here every Saturday and Sunday talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, taking your phone calls at 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. On the phone right now is Danny, waiting patiently during the break. Danny, what is going on?
Thanks for taking my call. First things first, I'd like to say I was one of the people that signed up for the Observer last month with the $3.99 deal. And I'm going ahead and do like the three additional more month subscription. So, and plus to hear the recap of the New Japan show, you got a lengthy subscriber here. So, attaboy.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Before I get to my question, I do have a two little predictions. I predict in 2014, John Cena is going to win his 16th WWE Championship. And then also I'll pick when CM Punk has an MMA fight, he loses by a tap out. So
he loses by submission. Wow. That would be the most humiliating way for him to lose, since that's his strong suit, is his jiu-jitsu, he says.
Will this be a verbal tap out? Will he actually tap out, or will a referee have to stop it and make it a verbal submission because he's just too much man and doesn't want to tap?
Oh, he'll tap. He's not an idiot.
He's not afraid of tapping. Yeah, he said. But my question is...
Actually, hold on. Before you do your question, I want to say something right here. I was watching SmackDown, and I'm also thinking about Brock Lesnar. And the way that they have not been promoting him, he is, of course, on Raw tomorrow. They've made no mention of it whatsoever. Done a terrible job promoting Brock. And I was thinking about it, and part of me thinks there, and I've not heard anything. In fact, the alternate plans that I've heard for WrestleMania suggestions, nobody has suggested this really. But from watching the show, I, honest to God, think that there is a chance that Brock Lesnar and John Cena at the Rumble is going to end with John Cena beating Lesnar in their third match and winning the title, and then Seth Rollins is going to cash in, and the WrestleMania main event ends up being Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns for the title. And they just do whatever they do with Brock. I think they're very upset with Brock for not re-signing, even though I think everybody knew going in it was unlikely he was going to re-sign with WWE in favor of going back to MMA. I just think that they are, and especially the way they've been beating Seth Rollins lately, I don't put it past him to take the belt off the guy and go a different direction for Mania.
I wouldn't be surprised with that at all. I mean, in you know, I guess reaction to Roman Reigns, you know, at the Royal Rumble to me would be a deciding factor, I guess, leading into it, because you, to me, I think people would also bite on, coming out of WrestleMania at least, Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler. You know, whether Rollins is the champion. Now, granted, I don't know how you get through WrestleMania.
Oh, are you talking about is a feud?
Yeah, and not have the happy ending. And I just, I know they're dead set on Roman Reigns, and I'm not faulting them for that. I don't, you know, I don't bag on Roman Reigns like a lot of people do, but I would at least leave the door open a little bit. And, you know, on the flip side of that, when it comes to Brock Lesnar, you had him beat the Royal, you know, the Undertaker last year at WrestleMania. To me, they just did not get their worth out of Brock Lesnar. And, you know, would he even be on WrestleMania then if he's not, you know, defending the championship? What else then do you have Brock Lesnar do?
Well, they got to have him on WrestleMania. I think it's inevitable he's going to be on the WrestleMania show, but what he's going to do.
Could you do Brock and Roman Reigns in a match not for the title?
If you wanted to not have Roman Reigns be your champion, but I think that they want to have Roman Reigns as their champion.
I just, you know, I guess it's just, you know, what a waste to me of this whole thing, a waste of Brock Lesnar in keeping him special. And granted, if he goes to UFC, it doesn't matter anyway, but to have him come back, beat The Undertaker, they're not advertising him now. They've done,
I mean, think about this, everybody. Think about this. Do you remember when Brock Lesnar first returned to WWE and he was going to have that match with John Cena at Extreme Rules? Everybody remembers this, right? And the obvious thing to do there would have been for Brock Lesnar to beat John Cena. But in his very first match back, they had John Cena beat Brock Lesnar. Why did they do that, you ask? Well, they did that because they thought, what if this guy decides he doesn't like this, and he decides he wants to quit, like he quit before when he went to football? We better make sure that one of our guys beats him before he gets out of here. So now, if they know full well that it is very likely that he is going to UFC or Bellator, and he is leaving WWE after WrestleMania, you really think they're going to have him beat John Cena again? And beat all of these guys all the way up until WrestleMania when he finally loses to Roman Reigns? I am skeptical of that.
Well, then why even? I don't know. I guess.
I don't know why they do anything. Have you been watching the shows? I'm baffled.
No, and that's, yeah, that's, it's been bad. It's
Danny,
been bad.
What else do you got?
All right, well, so basically, I went to try to order the GFW pay-per-view from my provider, UVerse, but sadly, they don't have the 2 a.m. 1 Central showing, so I'm going to have to order it on the Flips app, but, basically, are you a big fan of this commentary team of Jim Ross and Matt Stryker?
Man, what a loaded question.
Because Matt Stryker on Lucha Underground is always like inside jokes, like comparing The Miz to feminine, or you won't see this or that. But I'm not a big fan of Matt Stryker on Lucha Underground, because I don't think they can do performance like Cruz or Tenet did in When Worlds Collide. Because basically the big thing that Jim Ross has stated on Austin podcast this week, like he wants to tell the story, New Japan had a long entrance. He wants to tell the story of the feud as people come down to the ring. But I don't think these two can gel together. But what you think? I'm very skeptical for sure. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. Mike, what a question. What do you think of this commentary team of Jim Ross and your man, Matt Stryker?
You know, it's still better than watching WWE programming. Thankfully, we can move away from that. But,
you know, that's the one thing Stryker has going for him is the comparisons a lot of people are going to make, for right or wrong, are to the WWE commentary team, which sucks right now.
And I don't know how many people out there have seen Lucha Underground with him on it. Probably their only, you know, memory of Stryker's from WWE programming. And he, you know, it was a decent start that got poor very quickly. I don't think the world is going to stop spinning, even if Matt Stryker doesn't do the greatest job in the world. And, you know, people are going to be tuning in, listening to Jim Ross. And I think Stryker is not stupid. I think he'll take his cues from Jim Ross and whoever else might be in his ear. I'm not sure if anybody else is going to be. But Yes, there were far better options. John Pollock was a far better option. Moira Ronello, some of the other names that were out there, and for whatever reason, they either couldn't do it or they decided on it being Matt Stryker, and that's fine. Jim Ross is really the most important piece to that puzzle. So I don't think it's going to be as bad as some people who don't like Matt Stryker think. I will just have to kind of see how it goes. And, you know, it's not going to sink New Japan if Matt Stryker doesn't do a good job in his color commentary role.
Well, listen, if you're a fan of New Japan, if you've been watching New Japan, you have been watching New Japan with Japanese commentators, and you don't understand a word they're saying. When you watch this Tokyo Dome show, it's probably going to be an excellent show. It is going to be an awesome show in the ring. So my recommendation would be just enjoy the show the best you can. Is it really that hard to just zone out Matt Stryker?
And if Stryker's really that bad where it's taking away from Ross, they have the second audio programming option on there to flip it over to the Japanese
feed. Well, not if you're buying the traditional pay-per-view in your cable company. You will have to watch it in English. But the point is, every Monday on Raw, you don't zone out the normal dingbat commentators. I do. I am pretty sure I will be able to enjoy that New Japan pay-per-view and just zone out Matt Stryker if he's terrible. It's not going to ruin the show for me. Shouldn't ruin the show for anybody.
I can't believe it's going to do that. And again, it's been good to cause conversation and to talk about it and things like that. But again, how overbearing and underproduced would Matt Stryker be if he, you know, got, you know, interfered with Jim Ross's commentary? I just don't see that happening. I think it's I don't want to say much ado about nothing, but in a way it is.
All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Jay in Vancouver.
What's up?
Not too much. Well, I just wanted to ask about...
Jay, hold on. I just got a note here. Let me just get this out really quick. Apparently, yeah. If you are getting the regular pay-per-view, they are going to do the SAP, the SAP, in Japanese. So apparently...
How dare you doubt me?
Yeah, I was wrong. I'm sorry, Mike.
It's okay.
I apologize.
Still, it won't matter. I don't see anybody doing that. You know, there seem to be also, and I'm sorry to jump in here again, but there's a lot of people who are just, there are big Jim Ross fans and they are big New Japan fans who have grown up watching Jim Ross either in Mid-South or obviously WCW and WWE that would be happy with him doing it with solo. And there's another thing too. I know it's not everybody's favorite pick, but again, it's not going to ruin Jim Ross's broadcast. I refuse to believe that.
All right, go ahead, Jay.
Well, my question was, with WWE signing that big multimedia deal with Rogers up here in Canada, do you think that deal will act as a catalyst of sorts, I suppose, for us seeing more pay-per-views in Canada, especially considering the fact that Rogers owns a lot of the arenas up here and has the like sponsored naming rights?
Oh, you mean more pay-per-views going to Canada?
Yeah, more live pay-per-views in Canada.
I don't know if it's going to make any difference. I mean, it's possible, but... I haven't heard anything one way or the other. Go ahead and stand by here. We're going to take this break, and we'll come back and talk to you more when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every weekend, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet, WrestlingObserver.com, SportsByline.com, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, the list goes on and on. And of course, for the latest news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Not only do we have daily news updates, but we have so many radio shows, you wouldn't even know what to do with them. Over 6,000 shows dating back to 2005 are available in the archives. Every show we've ever done. I do 2 shows a day on average. Sundays, I sometimes do 3. But every single one of those shows are available to you, the new shows and the archive shows, as a subscriber. It's only $10.99 a month, and you will never, ever run out of audio if you are a fan of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. You also have full access to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly. You get full access to that as well, archives of both newsletters, and so much more. Check out the free stuff that we have available on the front page at WrestlingObserver.com. Join the fun. You will not regret it, as a number of callers have stated here on this show. Let's go back to the phones. You are on the air again. Who is this and where are you calling from? Actually, I know who you are. You're Jay from Vancouver. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is
Kreskin-like yeah, with his abilities there.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the question was more pay-per-views in Canada due to the Rogers deal. I mean, I know they're not going to come to Vancouver anytime soon. I mean, I think the last time there was a Raw in Vancouver was like 13 years ago, so I'm not going to hold my breath for that. And you know, I could, well, and they don't come to the Pacific Northwest that frequently either, but I would think that, like, at least the other major cities in Canada, like Montreal and Toronto, where Rogers is much more prevalent, I guess. I was just wondering if that multimedia deal they signed would have an effect on them going there more often, or because I mean the last pay-per-view in Canada I think was 5 or 6 years ago, and I was just wondering maybe if it's just purely a cost issue that they don't come up here anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a cost issue or just the issues with going across the border. Some guys can't get across the border. It's just always easier to run in the U.S. than to run in another country. But
it's got to be more expensive with tax implications and things like that. It probably is. That's why, like, you know, big fights, people don't like having them outside of Vegas or Texas, where there's not you don't have to pay as many fees and taxes and things like that. With that said, it's not going to hurt the chances of Canada getting another pay-per-view, having the deal with Rogers.
Yeah, because that 32 is going to be in Arlington, right at that big 100,000 seat stadium. So maybe that's maybe the bigger stadiums also in the U.S. would be another reason for them to stay there as well. Even though that does sound kind of ambitious.
Well, certainly for Mania is always going to be to me. It's if they can find a, you know, obviously a great dome with a great, you know, still like Minnesota. A lot of people hate going to the Super Bowl in January or early February in Minnesota, but you know, with the dome there, the dome in Detroit, with the massive stadiums down south, you know, your Orange Bowls and just football stadiums and things like that. That's always going to be, I think, tough for anyone in Canada to get again, you know, whether no matter if it's, you know, Rogers Center obviously is there, but I think they're always going to want to try to lean on WrestleMania being in the States. But as far as other pay-per-views go, I can't see, again, I don't know if it's been by design or what, but I can't see it going away forever where they won't have one up there. I could see Toronto or Montreal getting one. Whether it has anything to do with this deal, I don't know, but they'll end up back there at some point, I'm sure.
All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, it's Michael from Melbourne.
Michael from Melbourne, what is going on?
Yeah, just a couple of things, a comment and a question. Something you said earlier about Seth winning the title at Royal Rumble, I agree with that just because Dave sort of hinted at that recently on one of your other shows. He said something about, he goes, I think Seth's going to win the title. I think it's clear to me that Seth's winning the title pretty soon. And sometimes I find that he says stuff like that when he knows what's going to happen but doesn't want to actually say it, if you know what I mean. And just one more thing, I just wanted to ask about your $3.99 promo that you did a couple of months ago. That was around the same time that WWE did their 3 months. Was that kind of a way of your way of saying this is how it's done and you were trying to prove a point? And that's all I got. Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call. Well, I was not doing that directly in response to the WWE's free month. We had not done a special like that since about 2005. And we were trying to think of something to do for Black Friday, and that was what we came up with. And my big... listen, this next couple of days, that's when the 1 month is over. And so I'm very interested in seeing how many people sampled for $3.99 and then signed up, because I actually do kind of want to compare our retention rate to the retention rate of the WWE Network and how their numbers are after the entire free month of November. I didn't do it on purpose just to say, hey, we're going to do it better or whatever. It was just an idea I had, but I am curious to see how one is going to do as compared to the other. As far as the whole situation with Seth and the Royal Rumble, I don't know if Dave knows anything. I usually know when he knows something. And number two, sometimes when he does know something, he will talk about it off the air. I don't think he has any idea what's going on for the Royal Rumble and Seth. As far as I know, he knows they're still going with Brock and Roman at WrestleMania. But yes, Dave did mention that it is very interesting that Seth has been doing a lot of jobs lately. And I also noticed that they are the way that they've been putting over Seth on television, the way that they have behaved in the past with Brock Lesnar, just putting a lot of stuff together. I don't think it is out of the question that he is going to lose the title at Royal Rumble. And by he, I mean Brock Lesnar. I think that that is very possible, but I guess we shall see. Anything to add to that, Mike?
That just, again, makes me, you know, if you're going to do something like that and take the title off of Lesnar, then I to me, have Reigns destroy Brock at WrestleMania, because you're going to have people that are naturally, you know, upset with Brock leaving, and you can frame it on commentary of here he goes quitting again and all that sort of stuff. And I don't know. To me, I would rather see Reigns than defeat Brock Lesnar. With, you know, if he doesn't have the belt, have him destroy Brock. So it's a big thing for Reigns on a big stage. And to me, you can go, even though people won't like this, Cena Rollins or Rollins Ziggler at WrestleMania, I think to end the show would be, to me, a little bit of a bigger deal than, you know, than to me, that would be a bigger deal. And it would give you something coming out of it with either Reigns and Rollins or something like that. I can't see Rollins and Reigns. I could be wrong. Maybe that is going to be the WrestleMania main event. I just find that tough to, that's going to be the WrestleMania main event with the title on the line.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Ricky from Ohio. Vanderlei Silva is currently in Japan for the IGF show. What are the odds he shows up at the Dome for the Sakuraba and Suzuki match?
Oh, God, that would actually make a lot of sense, and it would be awesome.
That's what I thought when I saw Simon Inoki tweet the picture of Vanderlei. I figured it was a possibility. Also, was Barnett contacted about doing commentary for the Dome since he's also over there?
I don't know if he was contacted, actually. The list of names that I recall hearing, I don't remember hearing his name, although you would think that he would have been high on the list.
Yeah, he's on that list of, I would assume, safe bets, because obviously he was one of the first people contacted to do the Access show that will be showing older New Japan events. He will be doing the commentary alongside Mauro Ranallo for those whenever that begins, which I believe is, I think, sometime in January.
Yeah, I can't answer your question, but he certainly should have been in the running. If he wasn't, he'd be way better than Matt Stryker.
And maybe that has, and I don't know if that has anything to do over there with an IGF affiliation. I don't know. It would be very interesting to find that out, because it would be, again, it's very tough for me to believe, you know, when it comes to English speaking people, let alone that have that type of connection to Japan and professional wrestling over there, that Josh Barnett wasn't contacted at all. I really find it hard to believe that.
Yeah, let me ask this. What is Vanderlei doing at the IGF show?
They just said he was appearing. They didn't, I don't, as far as I know, he's not booked for any matches or anything. He's just taking part in the festivities, apparently.
Okay. The reason I ask is because I know that Barnett, he has a special contract that allows him to do pro wrestling if he gets the okay from UFC. I don't think Vanderlei Silva has that contract. And even if he did, he is not in good standing. And so I don't expect them to allow him to do it. So unless he wants to run the risk of facing some sort of lawsuit for working for New Japan when he's still under contract to UFC, I don't think he's going to be working for that company. But guy's out of his mind, so who knows?
Yeah, he's actually quite insane. And also, to Mike's point, I actually didn't even think about the whole IGF thing possibly preventing Barnett from appearing as like a commentator. It didn't even cross my mind, actually.
You know,
I don't think they'd have a problem with him
being
a commentator there, to be honest.
I mean, IGF and New Japan don't exactly get along.
Sure. Go ahead, Mike.
No, as you say, I don't know, if that had anything to do with it or not. And it's, you know, as far as Vanderlei, you know, being over there too, I don't know. It's been talked about for a while that he was going to be over there, and I don't know if he's going to play any, if it's just the part of a luminary during the Mariko Satoshi Ishii match, or exactly what it's going to be, if he's involved in any of the wrestling hijinks or any of that sort of stuff. But usually when it comes to those Inoki shows, there's going to be a lot of familiar faces over there. And you know, just because they'd be involved in a pull apart or something that may take place on the show, that won't mean anything. Wouldn't necessarily mean anything, at least.
All right. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Good morning, guys. Sammy from New Jersey.
What's up, Sammy? Morning.
Hey, if Brian Kendrick thinks the sun is cold, I think the sun means it's time to go to bed.
All right. Whatever works for you.
Well, two quick questions. Wanted a little primer on next week's New Japan show. I'm like, just for the listeners to understand the options for watching it, and if you want to watch it in English or Japanese and stuff. I'm not really sure. I kind of just listen. I'm not sure. If I want to watch Stryker and Jim Ross announce the show next Sunday and Saturday, how would I do that? Pretty much the option.
Well, the easiest option is to check with your pay-per-view provider. A lot of pay-per-view providers are not airing the show until Sunday. In fact, I have just been alerted by Bix, who wrote a great Figure Four Weekly this week, by the way, which is available for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Verizon Fios not airing UFC during the live timing, I guess. Actually, maybe he can confirm this. He says it's not airing UFC at 4 a.m., if it were over here, it would be airing at, I think, 11? But anyway, it will be airing the following night on Sunday. I've got a lot of emails from people where it is not airing Saturday night for them, but it is airing Sunday in the traditional pay-per-view time slot. So essentially, just go and see when your pay-per-view provider is going to air it, and then just order it like you would any other pay-per-view.
Yeah, one of the issues that I guess some people are having is because of the UFC replay that will be taking place, it is not available in high definition. It's only going to be available in standard definition. But yeah, for $24.95, that would be the easiest way that way. If you wanted to join up to NJPWWorld.com, you could do that as well for whatever 999 yen is equaling out to right now, about $8.50 on that one. You're not going to be able to get Jim Ross and Matt Stryker. You're only going to be able to get the Japanese feed. But in that case, if you wanted to watch the pre-match that will be taking place, the pre-show match, a kind of a New Japan Rumble, that will be on there. And that starts an hour earlier. And it's going to start 1 o'clock Eastern time, 2 o'clock Eastern time for the pay-per-view over terrestrial TV.
All right, we got to head to a break. We'll talk about that more when we get back. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Interesting, Mike, that of all of the calls that we have been getting today, a lot of them have been about New Japan and basically everything except WWE, with the exception of whether or not Brock Lesnar is going to lose the title at Royal Rumble or WrestleMania before he eventually goes, most likely, to mixed martial arts. I don't know what that means about how the Tokyo Dome show is going to do, but it's certainly very interesting.
Well, really what it means is WWE's programming stinks right now. It really does. In that apathetic wave, it's again, people aren't even calling up angry about what they're seeing or emotional about what they're seeing. They're just not calling up to talk about it at all. The same way they go to the arenas and they sit on their hands. And the same way that they, during the show, they turn it off during the third hour and just figure, well, I'll find out what happens because it's not must-see programming. They have a real issue right now. And it's, again, it's unfortunate because it shouldn't be that way. And there is, again, there's talent there. Orton and Barrett are coming back. There's things that on paper you should be excited about. And it's just tough because they have done such a bad job this year.
Well, on that happy note, we do have Raw tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about that after the top of the hour break. Whatever you want to call about today, we got another hour of open lines, everybody. The phone number is 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. We will start taking calls again in hour number two, and we'll be talking about the New Japan Tokyo Dome, the UFC Jones-Cormier fight, and so much more. A lot of stuff coming up. Back in a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for another hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Saturday and Sunday. Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sundays at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, as well as the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network. We stream live worldwide at WrestlingObserver.com, SportsByline.com, as well as TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, pretty much anywhere in the world that you have access to a radio or the internet, you can listen to Wrestling Observer Live. We're going to be taking phone calls for another hour as well. If you've got anything on your mind, pro wrestling or mixed martial arts, make sure you give us a call, 855-478-4478. The phone line's already ringing like crazy for hour two, and we have had a special request from somebody involved with WWE itself that Jim in Virginia give us a call again. We have not heard from Jim ever since he signed up for WrestlingObserver.com. Apparently, all of his questions are being answered with his subscription. But hey, there has been a request for him to call in with the latest women's wrestling news. Where are you, Jim?
This is especially good right now because Ed in San Antonio cannot call in, so you will have the forum all to yourself.
That's right. You will have the forum all to yourself, Jim, if you call in, because Ed is unable to call in here today. So
he's
in
holding, I believe. I'm not sure exactly where Ed is.
And like in a holding cell?
I believe so.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm sure he'll update us on Twitter as to his whereabouts. I am at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Semper Vivi. And, of course, Sports Byline is at Sports Byline USA. So we are going to head to our first break. When we come back, your phone calls at 855-478-4478. Give us a call. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here taking your phone calls today at 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. A lot of stuff to talk about here on the program today. Phone lines are ringing. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is John and I'm from Philadelphia.
John, what's going on?
Hey, answering my call. I have a theory on why wrestling, well, WWE is really, really bad right now.
It's December.
And I think it has, it's been bad since, September. And I think, I like to look back at previous years and look at the star making process. And I think it's interesting to look at WrestleMania 29. And if you look at the top four matches that year, they include Alberto Del Rio in a world title match. He is no longer there. CM Punk in another company. Brock Lesnar, who is not really there and is also leaving the company. And The Rock, who is also not there, went out with the company. Then you have The Undertaker there as well. And the only guy that's left from that WrestleMania is John Cena. Now, that was 2 years ago. And fast forward now, you wonder why there's no stars. There's no, any of that process. It's, the top players just 2 years ago are not really the top players anymore. And I think it's really hard to tell stories when that happens.
Well, it's a very weird thing because they have now worked themselves into a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that is that every year from January through March and April, they build up WrestleMania. And they bring back a lot of legends, they bring back a lot of stars, they put together the biggest matches, they peak at WrestleMania, and then you've got another 9 months. And there is the argument that because of the way that they build up the WrestleMania season, it's the only season that anybody cares about. And I mentioned that it's December and that's why things are lame, and you mentioned that things have been lame since September. And if you'll recall, it has now been 2 years in a row that things have sucked from September through January. Now, I am hoping, beyond hope, that once next week hits, the first Raw of 2015, I'm hoping that things start to turn around. They start bringing some people back. They start to focus on some matches. They start to build the Rumble. People get excited. But if you look at some of the names that have been here in years past who may not be here this year, we don't know if Undertaker is going to wrestle. We don't know if The Rock is coming back. CM Punk is absolutely not going to be there. Who knows what's going to happen with Brock Lesnar? It is a very interesting time, and it may not be as exciting as some people are expecting this year because we don't know who's going to come back.
I completely agree, and that's what worries me. Just one last question, if I can get in there. It sounds like, around this time you find about when who's paired up with who for WrestleMania. I think it's interesting. I'm just wondering, how come we haven't heard anything about what John Cena's up to? Like, who is he going to? Usually that's like the number one thing. Like, what are we up to with John Cena? But it seems like he's like hard to think of a matchup for him.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. It is interesting. Usually we have some matches for WrestleMania right around the time of the Slammies. Sometimes even earlier, we don't have nothing. We have nothing this year for WrestleMania. And I don't know what you're going to do with John Cena. Mike, who is John Cena wrestling at WrestleMania this year?
See, there's too many parts in play depending on who comes back, because the obvious one to me on paper would be Rusev, although if Rock comes back, then you would probably rather do Rock and Rusev and at WrestleMania. I think that would probably be a good one to go with. And I think there's, again, there's so many moving parts to it right now. I don't know if you can, if you really know.
Well, let's look at some of the names. We've got Sting, who is probably going to be facing Triple H. Although they did also shoot an angle this year with Triple H and Rock where they teased having a match at WrestleMania. So maybe they're going to do Rock and Hunter, and then Sting would have to face somebody else. There had been talk of maybe a Sting versus Bray Wyatt match, or was it Undertaker Bray Wyatt? I think it was
Undertaker Bray Wyatt.
That's right. I have heard the at least the idea that somebody floated of doing Sting versus Seth Rollins, and that, of course, would... That would be the case if Seth Rollins didn't win the title, obviously. I don't anticipate Sting getting a championship match at WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar, obviously, is going to probably be facing Roman Reigns. I don't know. I guess the answer would be, the reason we don't know with John Cena yet is if they go with the plan of Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns coming up at WrestleMania, then obviously John Cena has to lose at the Royal Rumble, or somebody has to run in. And whoever it is that either costs him the match or runs in will likely be his opponent for WrestleMania. So that's probably why we don't have a good idea yet. And I still don't have any idea who that could be. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Houston.
Ryan, what's going on?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. The problem is they had WrestleMania set for Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, and they didn't have any way to get to it. And then you had Roman Reigns get hurt, and then you had apparently the company just get tired of Brock Lesnar. And that's, I think, one of the main reasons why the WWE is not firing at all, is they had an end game without a way to get there.
Well, yeah, it's kind of funny, the New Japan show, we knew about the matches basically months ago, months and months ago, and they've been working towards that.
Well,
and
let me go ahead.
I was going to say, it's just too bad that the WWE, when they have the ability to have that type of long-term planning, it doesn't have to be that long, but when they have everything at their disposal to do that, I mean, it's frustrating that, again, what are you building towards? You're buying the name WrestleMania, and yes, I know people do that, that's fine, but that doesn't mean that you can't be building towards this. And it's just, it's too bad that there's that much confusion and upheaval and all that sort of stuff, and not knowing, you know, having these many moving parts going into January and into the Rumble, is it's kind of crazy.
Well, listen, also, I want to say that we don't know if WWE has given up on Brock Lesnar. This is all just speculation that they're upset with him because he's probably going to MMA, and they haven't been advertising him for these Raw shows. But it may just be that in Vince's crazed mind, he thinks it's way cooler to have Brock Lesnar be a surprise than somebody that you advertise. I wouldn't go with that, but hey, I'm not Vince McMahon, obviously.
I don't know. Who knows? And again, The Rock coming back and some of these other names that may be coming back, could play into it. Can you imagine a Triple H Rock match at WrestleMania? And then you're going to want whoever it is, if it's not going to, let's say it's not Brock Lesnar defending the title and you do Reigns Rollins. That, granted, I am happy to see Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, and as well as Dean Ambrose and other guys who have gotten their chances. And to see them main event of WrestleMania probably be it's a pretty great thing. But having them go out there after Triple H and The Rock, boy, that's going to be tough for them to do. It really is. I mean, just look at the way Hulk Hogan came back as Ho-Ho Hogan this week and held the crowd in the palm of his hand. And granted, that's Hogan. But you see when these guys come back, the kind of star power and the way people get behind them. And it would be kind of putting, I'm not saying it's putting Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins in a bad spot, but it could very well be.
All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, it's Chris in Vegas.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, So I think it's about time, and I heard about it last week. It's time to bring you out of retirement for another match.
Why do people keep trying to bring me out of retirement? Who is it this time?
Well, okay, so last week we were talking, and you were talking about how the Disco Inferno works in Las Vegas, and they have a promotion out here called FSW. It's been out here for about 5-6 years, maybe a little longer, and you guys have creative differences. There's a match to start building right there.
So you are going to build a wrestling feud between myself and the Disco Inferno based on the fact that we have creative differences about how to book wrestling.
Can this take place at a bunny ranch?
It could probably take place at the strip club that he works at, I'll tell you that much.
Jell-O. In Jell-O with you two? I don't want to see that.
I'm not wrestling the Disco Inferno in Jell-O, no.
It's they have it over usually at Sam's Town. It's grown quite a bit, and they have their own TV show. And there it is, right there. You guys can start in a shoot war, and it turns into an angle. And there you have your match. And I know you like to come out in Vegas. I'll even drive you to the event and everything. Don't worry, I'll take care of it.
All right. Well, listen, we got to head to a commercial break, but I will take that into consideration. We'll talk about that after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here until 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, still waiting for Jim in Virginia to give us a call here tonight. I know you're out there, Jim. We're waiting to hear from you. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello there. I cannot hear you. You seem to be muted.
Oh, you can hear me? How about
there,
now?
There we go. That's better.
All right.
So what's happening?
Oh, right. This is the prediction show, right? You're taking predictions?
We are taking predictions today. I'm going to do an official prediction show in a couple of days, but you're welcome to get your prediction in here as well.
Okay. Well, I got several, but they're kind of at odds with each other. So I'll share the second most interesting one first.
All right.
Okay, so there's been a lot of talk about how NXT is a much better product than the rest of WWE's TV. And I think that's going to suddenly change in 2015, so the rest of WWE won't look as bad in comparison.
So now the big question is, are you predicting that WWE television is going to improve dramatically, or are you predicting that NXT is going to start to suck?
No, regular WWE TV isn't going to change. NXT is going to suddenly not be as exciting, because all the talk I've been hearing about how the NXT people, either when there's a very high chance that they don't make it as big in Raw as they do on NXT. And I think not only are people bothered by, but they want to change this, because I've been thinking a lot how WWE's has been real petty all this year, and it's really fascinating to me. I've been listening to some of the shows from earlier this year.
And
they've been petty, Brian. They have been very, very petty, and you're right, they have been petty. I can't
I don't know what's going on with his phone. He lost his call right there. But go on.
I can't see them bagging NXT purposely. I don't think there's, Vince McMahon to come in and put the hand of, his hand into NXT, I doubt that he's got the time or really the want to do that. I can't see them dumbing down NXT in any way. I mean, aesthetically, NXT is a great program. Is it the best wrestlers in the world? No, not necessarily. Obviously, it's a place where it's their developmental, but it's nice to see, obviously, the Tyson Kidds and the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and guys like that down there. Apparently, Curtis Axel will be going back to NXT in the same vein as those guys. And, he's got a lot more to give than what he had to show on the main roster. I can't see them doing anything to put down NXT. I think the bigger question is, will they do anything more to promote NXT? Because that's been one thing that they haven't done at all. And they can keep ignoring it that way, but I can't see them doing, intentionally putting things into NXT or doing things to NXT to try to hurt it. That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I see that the Seahawks just beat the Rams to cinch the number one NFC seed. What do you make of that news, Mike?
I am very happy for all my Seattle Seahawks fans out there. I am very disappointed in the Atlanta Falcons, and it's my hope that a Seattle rival, the Arizona Cardinals, buries Carolina coming up this week in the wild card game.
I don't understand a word you just said, but I accept your congratulations. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is John from Arkansas.
What's up, John?
Oh, not much. I'm just listening to all the stuff about WWE, and I'm kind of with Mike and what he said earlier in the program. Yeah, it just seems like everything is lackluster, and there's absolutely no buzz whatsoever. Now, conversely, I am in the parties of those who are excited about the upcoming New Japan show, and I'm at the point now where if WWE's product doesn't turn around, I'm canceling my WWE network, and I'm going straight to the New Japan thing because at least I'll know there I'm getting great, solid shows all the time.
Are you a subscriber to the NJPWWorld.com?
Not as of yet. I have not done it yet. I am heavily, heavily debating doing that and dumping my WWE for that.
Man. What do you think, Mike?
One of those people.
Well, I mean, you know, it's the average WWE fan is not probably going to get anywhere near the value out of NJPW World if they're not familiar at all with the product. Although I'll say this again, it translates to about $850 a month if you have that extra money and you're a big wrestling fan who is willing to try different things, or maybe, you know, is semi-familiar with Japanese wrestling from the past, whether it be a Jushin Thunder Liger or a Fujinami or somebody that they had seen before in WCW. You know, it's a great bargain. There's almost everything that, I don't want to say everything that they've ever done is up there, but there is great quality because the film that was used, and they go back to 1972, and a lot of that stuff's up there, and there's a lot of really fun things that are up on the site if you are a wrestling fan. If you're, again, if you're a pure WWE fan, I'm not sure the New Japan World is going to have the, you know, the same type of value for you. But if you are a big wrestling fan, it's been a fantastic service. They've finally got a Google Translate one-touch button on the website, so you don't have to worry about surfing it in Japanese. You can just, with one touch of the button at the bottom of the screen, flip it into English, and it's pretty easy to navigate. And again, already I've gotten, obviously being a Japanese fan, a lot of use out of it, and I've seen online a lot of other people have too. And it's, for right now, with everything being so stagnant, I think, you know, New Japan World and Lucha Underground and even ROH in a lot of ways, it's just, it's some of the things that they're doing are a little bit shinier because things are just so bad in WWE right now.
Now, John, let me ask you this question. So even though you don't watch Raw, you can go on the network and you can get the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania and SummerSlam and NXT, all of these for $9.99, and you still think that you might cancel your network subscription?
Yes, there's only really one thing that's holding me towards staying, and that's the NXT program and Ric Flair's daughter, Charlotte. I'm an old stalwart fan of the NWA Crockett years. I'm 36 years old. I remember those years fondly. That's my type of wrestling. The whole WWE Hulk Hogan 80s thing, not really my bag. Not completely into that at all, but give me some classic Dusty Rhodes and the Four Horsemen rivalries and things like that. That's what I like. Give me old, good, solid, classic stuff.
But a lot of that classic stuff is available on the network. You could go up there and watch all of that.
It's also available on YouTube and probably
that's
collection.
A much bigger problem right there, the fact that they haven't taken this off YouTube yet, but yes.
But yeah, it's separate, but it's also, you know, if you're a fan of that era, you probably have that in your collection too. And if, you know, they've done some things as far as getting some programming on there, like now obviously we talked about with the TNTs and with the primetime wrestlings and things like that. But as far as that older fan that you thought they were going to play to with the Crockett stuff, with the Watts stuff, with the Graham stuff, it's not on there. So, again, if you're not satisfied with the programming, you probably have a catalog of stuff in your house already, as well as what's available online, where, you know, if you wanted to save the $9.99, you could definitely do that, because are they giving you a reason to tune in for the special events? No, they really haven't been doing that. Has the programming been making you want to see anything on the network? Well, if you just watched the WWE programming, how would you really know what was going on with NXT? Would it be something you want to see? And the answer is no.
I'm getting flooded with messages here. First off, this person says you should also remember that NXT is available on Hulu. So if you are only sticking around for NXT, you could get that on Hulu. And someone else
Hulu
here,
Plus.
That's right, is noting that they are in the middle of making a Horseman versus Rhodes rivalry show for the WWE Network. So if you're a big fan of that, that's going to be available for you.
I mean, I might stay for a little bit longer, but they're going to have to really improve the main tier stuff of Raw and SmackDown and give me some solid reasons to stay and stick with the future of the company, because right now I'm not seeing it. I also don't like the fact that they constantly go in this whole deal where they don't want to book a long-term babyface or a long-term heel. I want to see that because I believe the babyface chasing the heel is the better way to do things. I don't like the whole Hulk Hogan of the monster come up from underneath to come and find you, that type of thing. No, I like seeing the bad guy get away with a whole bunch of unscrupulous wins, and the good guy has to fight to finally get his just desserts of winning. That's what I want to see on WWE programming. They haven't given that to me.
Well,
I agree with that to a point.
They are kind of doing that with Seth Rollins, and Brock just has not been on television, but Seth has kind of taken the role of that guy on WWE TV. And again, Raw and SmackDown has nothing to do with the network.
And that's always going to be a hard one for WWE to do because, I mean, for whatever Vince says about his father, I mean, he had the same sort of thing, you know, the babyface champion facing the monster or facing the guy of the month, whoever it was going to be. I just think in today's day and age, you can update that a little bit more and have, you know, it doesn't have to be so one-sided like the 80s where Hogan would face a monster and win all the time, whereas Flair would lose all the time, you know, with underhanded tactics, you know, by disqualification. I think there's a balance there where you don't have to have all of one or another.
Yeah, if you could have that nice little 50-50 balance of one from each side, I'd be perfectly fine with that. I just don't see that balance. It just seems one-sided. It's either we're going this way or not.
John, we got to wrap it up here, but I want to thank you very much for the call. We'll talk more after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. I guess it is the unofficial prediction show here today, everybody. So if you want to call in with your prediction for 2015, now is your chance. And for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. We have daily news updates and more radio shows than you could possibly know what to do with. I do at least two shows every single day. Got another one coming up tonight with Vinny. We're going to be talking SmackDown, as well as NXT and Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground coming to an end for this season, but the next season is about to start. And all of these shows are available for only $10.99 per month. Not only do you get all of the brand new audio shows that we do every single day, but every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives right now. That means that we have over 6,000 radio shows in the archives. WWE Network is at 2,500 hours. We're at 6,000 hours at WrestlingObserver.com. You will never run out of wrestling audio as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out. You also get full access to the Figure Four Weekly, the Wrestling Observer, the archives for both, the message board, and so much more. If you are a wrestling fan, it is far and away the number one wrestling website, as well as the number one wrestling radio show in the entire world. So check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. Sign up today and join the fun. You will not regret it. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is John from Memphis.
What's happening, John?
I have to say, I don't see Cena fighting Rusev at WrestleMania. Not with Rusev as United States champion.
You know what? I'd forgotten about Rusev, but that is actually a very likely match. Why don't you see it happening?
Because if, knowing Vince, you want Cena to go over at Mania against the big heel like Bray Wyatt was at 30, and if Cena beat Rusev clean, that means the United States champion would be John Cena, and I just don't see McMahon wanting to put what is probably the lowest title to their to his biggest star. No offense.
Well, you may be right. They could also do a deal where Rusev does something dastardly to John Cena and gets stripped of the title before they ever have their match. They could do something where they sign him to a match where he could lose on a disqualification. There's a lot of ways to get the title off of him if you don't want to put it on John Cena. But I think that the most likely scenario would be John Cena just winning the title and then dropping it to somebody else after a while.
I just don't want Cena to be the one to beat Rusev clean. I think that wasted potential. You build Rusev up over a year.
I don't think at WrestleMania Cena, that that's that bad of a thing. If, you know, again, and it's what they do after that. Because there's been a thing where guys hit John Cena, whether it be Cesaro or no matter who it is, and you think, okay, there's going to be something coming from this, and it doesn't seem to happen. And I'm not blaming John Cena for that, but it's just, it's kind of been, seems like it's been a thing that way. So it's really, it's not about losing to John Cena at WrestleMania, because I don't think that there's any harm in that. I think it's then what do you do afterwards if he goes and loses immediately to, you know, I don't know, whoever, say Titus O'Neil or, you know, whoever it is, then they've made a mistake. But if, you know, he loses to John Cena and then comes back stronger from that, whether it be facing, trying to go after Roman Reigns if he's got the title or no matter what it is, as long as there's something good after it, I think that's okay.
Who would you have?
Well, I'm going to talk about Roman Reigns, not Roman. I think WWE kind of shot themselves in the foot by having him feud with Big Show right now. I think that's kind of a because.
But you need some sort of placeholder for him, and Big Show at least people. They're not obviously responding great to the matches, but then again, they're not responding to any of the matches right now, frankly. But I think it was a good placeholder. It's a big guy, you know. It's you know the punch against the punch. To me, you had to do something,
yeah,
and there are worse options out there to have. At least you know Big Show can make Reigns look as you know as good as he can, and being such a big guy, I think that's to me that's not that bad a one.
Okay, hold on. I got to know who the caller thinks should end the streak of Rusev.
Honestly, I know personally, I think Roman or Ryback, someone young that can get the rub of beating someone who has been undefeated for an entire year. Well, not undefeated, have been pinned or submitted.
Well, first off, I want to thank you very much for the call. I have to say, I don't know about Ryback, but knowing how WWE does things when they got a guy that they feel is going to be their guy, I would not put it out of the question for Roman Reigns to end the streak of Rusev shortly before he gets his championship match at WrestleMania. Like, I could even see them doing it on the final Raw before WrestleMania. They do a Rusev versus Roman Reigns match, and Roman Reigns ends the streak on his way to his championship match. That's my prediction, by the way, for 2000 and, what's next, 15? That's my prediction for 2015. Roman Reigns beats Rusev on the Raw the night before WrestleMania.
Hey, definitely not a bad idea there, especially because if it say it's going to be like a Rusev and John Cena, that's say the plan for WrestleMania because of whatever happens. And Cena, you know, causes some sort of distraction. It doesn't have to be, you know, obviously Reigns wins clean, you know, as far as hitting, you know, the Superman punch or whatever it's going to be to get the pin. But then that could lead easily into, you know, WrestleMania 2. So that would actually be something that would make a lot of sense. And it probably is something that should be done to build him up if he's going to be your champion, and you're going to want to build with him after WrestleMania.
All right, everybody, we're doing the unofficial prediction show right here, so if you want to give us a call and give your prediction for 2015, the phone number is 855-478-4478. We're still waiting for Jim. Where's Jim been? Has he just got too much audio? He's not listening to Wrestling Observer Live anymore? It's a sad state of affairs here today.
Jim, do not listen to Sin Lamente programs that I do with Dave Meltzer that go between 2 and 3 hours when we do them. Don't listen to those when it's time to be listening to WOL.
That's right. And where's Ed?
I don't know. He hasn't even responded on Twitter. Nothing about blue pants. Nothing about just hating Boxing Day. None of that stuff. I'm surprised.
I did get an autographed photograph of blue pants on our Christmas show. The full 2-hour and 30-minute edition of which can be seen or listened to right now at WrestlingObserver.com.
Thank God it can't be seen.
Hey, next year may be the year that
I
go
need
video.
To see Granny's the big Ryback bow she was wearing on Wang with his shirt open, the thin gold chains with the Beats headphones around his head, tied in with something wacky that Craig was wearing.
Oh yeah, it was a crazy evening here in the Figure Four Studios. Mike, tomorrow is Raw, and we may have an angle. My gut tells me that the big angle is actually going to take place on the
Eric
first,
angle?
Not that angle. On the first Raw of 2015, but there may be something tomorrow. Brock is obviously going to be there. What do you think we're going to see on Raw tomorrow night?
By the way, did those Kurt Angle Rusev hopes go away for everybody now? Is that official?
I don't remember those hopes.
There were a lot of people that were hoping it would be a great idea if Kurt Angle were to end the streak of Rusev or go out there and at least be a bump in the road for Rusev. But I guess that
would
never
strongly
happen.
Suspect that Kurt Angle is not going to... end the streak of Mr. Rusev.
I think tomorrow night on Raw, people will be turning it off in the third hour because that's what they've been doing. But I don't know. Hopefully, we have some sort of ideas on matches leading into the Royal Rumble. And I don't know if they're going to do the whole drawing of numbers or have numbers be up in the air. I think on top of that, Randy Orton has made appearances at house shows over the weekend. I think we probably could see Randy Orton back. Again, that's why I'm surprised that they did not promote Brock Lesnar to be on this show because, you know, it's always better to try to, if you think in WWE, it seems to make the most sense to advertise your surprise. You know, you want people to be turning in. But I think if you advertise a Brock Lesnar and then have Randy Orton or a Wade Barrett come back, I think that would be... That wouldn't be all that bad of a thing and wouldn't be too big of a surprise to see tomorrow night, especially have that happen in the third hour where, again, now that we're getting into Rumble and WrestleMania season, you know, it's like, hey, everybody, football's ending. Don't tune out. Don't tune into something else. We're going to give you a reason to stay to the top of the 11 o'clock Eastern hour.
Well, Randy Orton is back, as is Wade Barrett, and we may see them on the show tomorrow. I guess we'll find out. Randy Orton is doing house shows. Wade Barrett is not wrestling yet, but he has made his return at house shows. Hulk Hogan was at a house show last night in Cincinnati, I believe, which is actually where his wife is from, which may have ended up being the tie-in right there.
As well as Les Thatcher.
That's right. Maybe that's why he was there. I had not thought of that possibility there. But that's the latest on Raw tomorrow night. Of course, Jones-Cormier is coming up on Saturday. Your official prediction, Mike, who is winning that fight?
Oh, man. Like you said yesterday, I'm going to... There's a lot of reasons I want Daniel Cormier to win that fight. And again, it's nothing anti-John Jones or anything like that. I just think it would be great if Daniel Cormier won the fight. I'm a fan of his, but... I'm going to keep my rule going. It's hard to bet against guys. Again, Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre, guys like that, until they lose, it's hard to bet against them. I'm not going to bet against John Jones.
You know, my gut, I think I talked about this yesterday. My gut tells me that John Jones is going to win. But when I look at Daniel Cormier, I mean, if you match the guys up, at least in their career, if you match him up physically, it seems like Cormier is going to have a tough time, but Cormier has never lost a round. He has never lost a fight, which would be very hard to do if you'd never lost a round. He has never even really been on the defensive. He has only been on the offensive. The John Jones-Alexander Gustafsson fight, Jones took just a tremendous beating in that fight, and who knows? I mean, obviously, his last fight, he did all right, but when you take a tremendous beating, sometimes it takes something out of you. What has John Jones been doing in his training? How has he been training? Because I would bet you anything that Cormier is training harder than he's trained for anything in his life.
There's the one thing about Cormier. He is not going to run out of gas.
No, and he's not going to do things stupid on the way to the fight, which maybe John Jones, I don't know, maybe he's done something stupid on the way to the fight. But at the end of the day, I think that it's hard to bet against the champion, but by the time Saturday comes, I may, in fact, predict Daniel Cormier. I got to really think about this. For those of you that don't know a lot about the fight, and God knows how you wouldn't, tonight on FS1, there is a special called Bad Blood, which is airing in about an hour, 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 9 Eastern. I have been told it is a tremendous, tremendous show, so I recommend you go up there and check that out. And yeah, I'm sure it'll end up on the internet in the next couple of days, but watch it on FS1. It's apparently very, very good building up this coming Saturday night's fight.
All of this buzz going around this fight, you know, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but, you know, there's the chance because of, you know, John Jones so athletic and the ability to just slice you to death with the elbows and the angles he can hit you at and all that stuff. You know, there's the possibility. I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, from an excitement level, it may be a little bit more subdued than obviously all the hype going around it. I'm not saying it's going to be, it's got the possibility of being boring. I guess every fight's got the possibility of being boring, but I can see this maybe, I can see a lot of cautious work at play between those two as well.
I just hope that we don't see a five-round boring battle. I don't need to see five rounds of Jones throwing a front kick to keep distance and a jab, and Cormier can't get in there. All I want is a fight. All I want is an exciting fight. And if you give me that, I will be satisfied. And I think that we will, I think fans will be satisfied as well. As no matter who wins, if it's a great fight, everyone's going to be happy. Let's take one last call real quick. You were on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
What's up, Brian and Mike? It's Chris in Nacogdoches, Texas.
What's up, Chris? We got about a minute.
Hey, I was just wondering, is there any truth to the rumors about calling Adrian Neville up and giving him some sort of Mighty Mouse gimmick?
Oh, man.
That's not true.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. Yes, those are the rumors. No, I cannot confirm them. Things can change, but...
Why not Danger Mouse?
It has been discussed. We'll talk about this more after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Got a lot of messages during the break from a lot of different people, actually. One person here says he is not going to be wearing a mouse suit. There is no call-up date for him at the moment. Likely coming up in the spring. There's some matches they want to finish up with him in NXT before he gets called up. And this person says there is an idea for something of this nature with Adrian Neville, but it is more a Crash Holly style character and not a man in a mouse suit. Another person noted that when Chris Candido was first coming to WWE, they were going to give him a Mighty Mouse style gimmick, and they even had costuming done for whatever it was, but they ended up going with the Body Donnas instead. So all I got to say is any idea that they have for anybody in WWE before they come up to the main roster, these things can always change. We'll see what happens. He's not going to be wearing a mouse costume, though.
Well, you know what? I maybe for him, I hope he does, and then somehow becomes the biggest kid star out there and sells so much merchandise he can live off those royalties the rest of his life.
That would be a best case scenario.
Could be worse ways to go.
There would be worse ways to go. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. Tomorrow, of course, is Raw. And, of course, next weekend is a huge weekend. There is UFC 182, as well as the Tokyo Dome show coming up on January 3rd. And on January 3rd at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, we are going to be here on the show talking about both of those events. Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, we will return. We'll preview the events. And then guess what? The next day at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Mike and I are going to be back, and we will be running down all of the shows. I also have approximately 10 shows coming up over the next week at WrestlingObserver.com, Monday through Friday. So sign up there. Get more fun audio talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Thanks, as always, to Mike, all of you, the listeners, all of the callers, and everybody listening to this right now. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We'll talk to you again after a while.